The Oasis, about planting your faith. Planting your faith. Okay, it's something a little bit different than maybe what you've heard before about faith. There's a lot of messages. My boys always ask me, "Dad, what's the name of your sermon? What are you preaching on Sunday?" And I say, "Well, it's about walking by faith." And you're like, "Dad, you've preached 100 sermons called Walking by Faith." But this one is a little bit different again. It's just got a different angle on it, because without faith, we've got nothing, right? I mean, it's important. But let's press into God in prayer first as we get started. Father, we open ourselves up to you. We're grateful to be here in your presence, Father, just listening and pressing into your word, Lord, letting you speak to our hearts, letting you change our minds, letting you develop what you want to in our bodies. Lord, help us bring them under subjection, Lord, to let you be in control and for you to be in power, Father, of all of our life, for our spirit, soul, and body. Lord, we're loving you. We're praising you. We thank you for this word, Lord. I pray that as we go forth that we're already different from our worship of you so far, but Lord, let a change take place even deeper. Let something profound happen in our life, Lord, that we know that we have spent time with Jesus, that we've been with you and in your presence, and that, Lord, that your heart is in our hearts are becoming one as we worship and exalt you in your word. Lord, we praise you for it. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about faith. Faith is something that has been given already. Okay, faith has already been given to each and every one of us. I don't think I have the scripture for the board, but it's in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. It says that God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. He has already given you a certain amount of faith. Okay, and that certain amount of faith has been given you as a free gift. Okay, it wasn't something you earned or you had to muster yourself up to get this kind of faith. God says he has dealt to every man or woman a measure of certain amount, a particular amount of faith, okay, so that you may know God, okay, that you may know his power, that you may know his glory. Okay, the Bible even says that the glory of the heavens declare his glory, and that it makes it awful hard for the unbeliever to say there is no God when they look up into the heavens. Okay, because that little bit of faith that there has to be something bigger than me to do all this is inside of them. Okay, to sort of use a farming analogy, many know my background in farming, but it's like you have been given a certain amount of organic seed, okay, that is going to produce in abundance. Okay, now I say organic, many of you know GMO, genetically modified seed. You can take that seed and plant it all day long and it won't grow. It's been modified from its original version. So I say that it's God has given you seed or faith that's of an organic nature. It is something that he gave to you that can then be replanted, and as you plant it, it can produce fruit. And then as it produces fruit, you reap a harvest from that. And when you reap a harvest, you have more seed to plant again. Okay, that's the sort of farming analogy. So it's like you've been given a certain amount of organic seed that is going to produce an abundance if you plant it and tend to it. Okay, because we have to follow through with what God has given us. In Romans 10:17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So I want to encourage you from God's word. This term right here, it says, "Faith cometh by hearing," or in other words, you could say it cometh from or originates from God. Okay? Faith comes from, or originates from, God and his word. He is the author of our faith. He is the finisher of our faith. In other words, the point I'm trying to make is that there is nothing wrong with your faith. Okay? There's nothing wrong with your faith. It came from God. Okay? And if God gave it to you, he's not going to give you an imperfect gift and then say, here's a messed up gift of faith. Now you have to fix it and make it better and actually start believing. He gave you the gift of faith to every one of us. Okay? You do not need more faith. I've heard this. Boy, if I just had more faith, I could pray like you do, and then God would hear my prayers. If I just had more faith, okay? God doesn't need to give you more seed, okay? He has given you what you need to succeed already. He's already given you faith. He is simply wanting you to plant what he has already given you, okay, and then apply the Word of God to it, okay, or apply your faith according to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we need to put the two together, that as we begin to pray and believe, that we are praying according to the Word of God. That's how we know that God hears us, when we pray according to His Word, or according to His way. Okay, Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is not elusive and intangible, but faith is actually a substance. It is a literal evidence. Okay? So you've heard of this before, that kind of changing gears on you a little bit, but you've heard of criminal charges against somebody that were dropped because of a lack of evidence. Okay? Other times they may say that, you know, maybe there's a link to a fact, but it's not the actual fact, therefore it is circumstantial evidence. Okay, and in other words, it may provide some proof. They say like a fingerprint at a scene of a crime is circumstantial evidence. It shows you were there, but it doesn't show you committed the crime. You get that? It's part of the proof, but not proof in itself. Okay, it says that circumstantial evidence says that it is some proof, but not absolute, without a doubt proof. Therefore, it does not constitute a true and definite evidence. Okay, so faith is not circumstantial. It is not like a circumstantial evidence. Faith is a substantial evidence. Okay? It is literal proof of something. Okay? The question comes up then, what is faith evidence or proof of? Okay? What is it proof of? Okay? If evidence, or this says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, it gives you a clue that it is evidence of something that you can't see. It is evidence of more of a belief or a something that is unseen. Okay, faith is not circumstantial, but it's substantial. It's literal proof. But that question comes up, what is it proof of? People say that they have faith that their bills will be paid. People say that they have faith in so-and-so, that in the end of the day, they will do the right thing. I have faith in my wife that she will, you know, cook a good meal today, right? I have faith in her for those things. But that's not really what faith means, to express it like that. Those are just kind of sayings that people have come up with over the years. Those descriptions do not reflect the true nature of the evidence. Okay, a better description of faith is that true faith is something that is invested and already put in motion. Okay, true faith is something that is already invested and it is put into motion. Faith is alive, it's active, in other words. It is not just sitting still. Faith, true faith, is already in motion. True faith is something that is invested. I'll give you an example. Let's say I have $1,000, and that $1,000 represents my faith. Okay? As long as I have that money in my wallet, it is not producing anything. But if I invest that $1,000 into a good stock or a good stock market or a good bond or something, now it is already in there. It's out of my hand and in that market. And hopefully it will be producing something of greater value. That's why you invest something, right? Faith is something that is like a commodity you will invest. Okay, and I'll explain this as we go along. Because as long as I am holding on to that, it's not producing anything. But when I invest my faith, like you invest in a stock or something like that, now it's out of your hands and it's in basically the hands of the market. Or in our case, with our faith, if we invest faith into God, it's out of my hands and now becomes into His, where it can grow and prosper and produce things of greater value. Okay, the literal faith, or the literal proof that your faith provides, is that it is evidence of your belief in the power and the authority and the supremacy of the Almighty God over any circumstances and over every circumstance. That is the proven part of your faith. Okay, the seed of your faith is proven, or it is invested, when you pray. Okay? When you make your request known unto God, that is an investment of your faith into the hands of God, saying, God, I am praying, but I'm giving my faith to you that you may do what you want in this situation. It is turning it over 100% to God. It is investing into God's hands. Okay, you invest, your faith is proven or invested when you pray and you make your request known unto God. You are investing some of that seed that He has given you into Him and trusting in His ability to do something with it. Okay, faith is not only something that we have, but it's also something that we live by. Okay, or something you could say we live according to. You remember when the blind men came to Jesus and they were asking for healing? He said, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said, yay, Lord, we wouldn't be here if we didn't believe, sort of thing. And he goes to them and he says, according to your faith, be it unto you. In other words, you live not just with faith, but you live according to your faith. Okay, you live with that knowledge of what you are there doing or what you're in that moment for. So Jesus said to them, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, it says. If you read that scripture, I didn't pull it up. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, quotes the writer of Habakkuk. Okay, and he says in Romans 1:17, he says, it is written, okay, from Habakkuk, it is written, the just shall live by faith. Okay, to the Galatians, Paul says, Galatians 2:20, he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in, or according to the flesh, I live by, or according to, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, he reminds the Galatians in Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by or live according to their faith. Okay, our walk with God is not just about having faith in Him. It's a daily walk of faith that we live not just with faith, but we walk according to our faith. Okay, the writer of Hebrews also quotes the written word of God. And he tells us as well in Hebrews 10:38, he says, now the just shall live according to or by their faith. You're going to live by faith. The Word of God again prompts us in 2 Corinthians to add a small element of something to our faith by adding a few steps to our faith, literally walking by faith and not by sight. Okay, and you could say in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, for we walk by or according to faith, not by or according to our sight. Okay, we're not going by what we see in the natural, we're going by our faith. That is going to be our reality. That's what we are going to experience when you walk according to your faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. Okay, so if you're stepping out, you're believing and trusting God, you will begin to see in your faith, which has been given to you by God as a seed, you are planting into God and it will begin to grow and to prosper and God will take you even deeper and produce more faith. Okay, so when you step out in faith and God comes through and you see a faith action, something happens, your faith is then grown or built. Right? It's a positive experience that takes place in your life. Okay, it means that we take a little bit of the faith. God says He's dealt to every man a measure of faith. So we've all got some. We take a little bit of that faith that God has given us to believe in Him and to trust Him, and we apply it to our life in a certain way that declares that we believe in Him. Okay, we approach Him and pray in faith. We trust God and believe. We step out into Him. James declared that faith without some sort of an action associated with it is dead by itself, right? It is lifeless. It's immobile. Okay, if it's immobile, it's not moving. It's the money still in your wallet sort of thing. It's not producing anything because it's still in your possession and you haven't by faith planted it into God. Okay, that little bit of faith doesn't accomplish anything. In fact, James implied that it was nothing more than a wasted effort. Okay, if you didn't actually put a little bit of steps to your faith, to walk by faith, instead of just saying that you have faith. Because some of you say that you have a lot of faith. Okay? Some of us do. We say we have a lot of faith. We may even declare that we walk by faith. Okay? Not by sight. I walk by faith. But your actions tell a different story. Okay? Because if your actions are saying something different than what's coming out of your mouth, which is going to happen? It's what's coming out and your action. Okay? Because you're saying it, but your action is still going to happen too. So if your action's not lining up with your mouth, you've still got issues. Okay? You're still in control, in other words. Okay? Some people are still in control. They haven't given that up. Okay? They're still hanging on to that seed. Okay? You still put your life in a little box where you determine your steps. Okay? What does the word say about your steps, right? Okay? You have not turned it over to God. In other words, you haven't planted your seed of faith. Okay? When the disciples came to Jesus at one time, they said, "Lord, increase our faith." Okay? These same guys came back to Jesus at a different time when they were trying to cast a demon out and they couldn't seem to get it done. And they came to Jesus and said, "What's wrong with this situation? Why isn't this happening?" His answer was that they, not that they needed to believe more, okay, not that they needed to clean up their lives, not that they needed to love him more. Jesus didn't tell them any of that kind of stuff. Okay, what his answer was that they had not initiated the response by planting their seed of faith into God. They had planted or maybe went through the motions, but they hadn't truly planted that seed and let it go and grow. Okay? His response was that they had not fully released it to God. Okay? You have a little bit of faith. Now, I'm putting a couple of scriptures here into place, but you remember that scene is where Jesus says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, a little tiny bit of faith, you could say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall obey you." Okay? If you take your seed, in other words, and plant it, it can do something. Because God has given each and every one of us a seed of faith. We have it inside of us. It is something that is in there that needs to be planted in order to be put to use. You have a little bit of faith, like a mustard seed, but a seed doesn't produce anything if it's not planted, okay? And that was his implication for those disciples was, you have seed, but you didn't plant it, okay? You didn't put it there and leave it there. If I was a farmer and I went out and planted my corn and I went out every day and dug it up, it's not going to grow. It doesn't work that way. You plant a seed and you walk away from it and you let God do what God does to a seed, okay? None of us can make a seed grow. We can't make it produce something. We don't know even when you plant a tree or a kernel of corn or whatever, we have no idea how to make that grow and happen. We can't make it grow and say, this seed is going to grow 1,000 kernels of corn. We can't do that. We are planting a seed and then trusting in God that it will produce how many seeds God wanted it to produce. And we're going to trust in Him by doing that. And I want to tell you a story about a young German man. His name was George Mueller. Anybody ever hear of George Mueller? Okay, there's a book that's out about his life, and I'll tell you what, it's a good read. It's only about this thick for the guys, you know, that don't like reading the big thick books. It's a good one for me, but I'll tell you, when I read it, I was going through a trial, a time in my life that I literally could not get enough of that book, that I would read it only at certain times, and a lot of times end up being in the middle of the night. God would wake me up, I'd be awake, I'm like, what should I do? Grab the book, okay? Because I was getting fed from that to know literally what my next steps were supposed to be, okay? And as I read about George Mueller and his faith in God, he trusted God like nobody I'd ever seen or read about. I mean, you read stuff in the Bible, but this guy would like, man, he had no way for something to happen. And he, instead of going the way of the world and the way people were pushing him, he just stayed true to God and said, God, if you don't make it happen, it ain't going to happen. Okay, and that was his attitude. Well, let me tell you George's story a little bit. George had a pretty rough upbringing. Okay, he had a very controlling father, very verbally and even physically abusive. He tells a story about being beaten with a cane at one time because his dad had a cane. And the reason for the beating was because George had He was pretty rebellious and he partied a lot. Well, he had gone off to college, and while he was at college, he squandered away his rent money on gambling. And so he didn't have enough to pay for his boarding house, and so he ran away from the boarding house. Well, the cops tracked him down, brought him back, and he spends a month in jail. And when he gets out of jail, he goes home, and on the way there, he's thinking he knows his dad's going to be torqued, okay? And well, actually, yeah, he gets to the house first, and so he's sitting there, and he's waiting for his dad to arrive, knowing that his dad is going to be pretty upset. And literally, he does. He comes in, and then he says, "You still have no respect for authority. Maybe I can pound some into you." And so he uses his cane and beats him with that cane. Okay. His dad decides, because of that, or shortly after that, he says, the only way that I'm going to get my son straightened out, he determines he's going to send him to a university in Halle, H-A-L-L-E, which was run by the Lutheran Church of Germany to train up Lutheran ministers. So basically, he puts his son in a seminary, says, if anybody's going to get to him, it's going to be this seminary. These preachers or these guys there, ministers there, are going to get to him, and that will help him. Well, it wasn't until about his third year in seminary that George finally had a true experience with God, and he got born again. Okay, he actually, in occurrence, he was still partying and in the bar scenes and whatever. He was known as the missionary that could drink more beer than he could quote scripture kind of thing. He just had a bad reputation. Well, he has an experience. He gets saved. And he knew almost immediately once he gets saved that he was called to do something more than just being a Lutheran missionary. God had laid something in his heart that he wanted to go and evangelize the world. He wanted to be a missionary. Okay, and in that time, in that place, in that area, it was unheard of. Missionaries lived in dirt floor houses with nothing, and they would go overseas or go places, and they come back to their dirt floor. They just stayed poor, and he knew that a Lutheran minister got a certain salary, they got a parsonage, they got all this stuff. He knew what the implications of what he was doing was, but he says, God has laid it on my heart to be a missionary. I can do nothing else. And so he goes to his dad, okay, knowing his dad was going to be mad that he wanted to be a missionary. His dad had the plan that his son would get out, he would have a parsonage, he would have enough money that he could take care of his dad when his dad got old. That was his dad's plan for him. And so he knows his dad's going to be mad. His dad was the one that was paying for him to go to college, okay? And he knew that his dad's probably going to yank that funding. But he goes to his dad and he says, Dad, I don't want to be just a Lutheran missionary with a little church. I have to be a missionary. And his dad goes ballistic and says, you will not do it with any of my funding. And he basically disowned George at that moment. He says, I'm pulling all my funding from you. If you're going to squander your life away, you go do it on your own, but it's going to be completely apart from me. Okay. So George wanted to finish his schooling at that seminary. He still had about a year and a half left, and he wanted to finish that before he went into the missionary field just to get more training in the Word. Now he was actually going to memorize Scripture instead of drinking beer, and he really had a plan for life. And so he decides, I need to finish school and wait for the right missionary opportunity to come along. He knew he was called, but he didn't know exactly what it was. So he said, I'm going to stay right here and wait for this to come along. So one morning he gets down on his knees before God at his breakfast table and he prays. And this is the prayer he prayed. He said, God, you know exactly what I've done and you know what it means. You know what I need. I need money to pay rent, to buy food, to get books, and to settle up for the coming term. I am depending on you, God, to see that I get it. In your own time, in your own way, I will wait. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, George Mueller had a seed that was planted deep in his heart, and this faith was in him, and he trusted God. So he turned that seed over to God and said, God, my life is in your hands entirely. Everything I am depends on what you're about to do with this seed I'm planting. See, George had no way to make the seed grow. He had nothing that he could do to make that happen. He could try to squeeze that seed and try to make it do something on his own. He could add his own 2 cents and try to force something to happen. That's what many of us do. He could have altered that seed and tried to make it do something, But he chose to depend entirely on God. And he said at the end of his prayer, God, I want it to be in your way, in your time. I will wait. In Jesus' name, amen. He showed that he was not going to pick it up again. He was determined, and God knew that this was it. If I don't bail George out, George is going to perish. Okay, George was that determined to wait on God. Well, guess what happens? A few minutes later, knock, knock, knock at George's door, and it was one of the professors from the university where he was going to school, and he had another gentleman with him. Well, the other gentleman was an American doctor that had just moved to Germany, didn't know German, but he moved to Germany to work, and he says, I need a tutor that can teach me German. George says, I can teach you German. And sure enough, the guy says, okay, whatever the going rate is for a tutor, I will double that, and I will pay you to tutor me for 8 hours a week. Okay, so George gets excited. He starts doing the math, and he figures out, oh, he says, praise God, that's going to pay for about a fourth of my tuition and my books and my school. He said, about a quarter of it's already covered. And he just figured God was going to incrementally cover a little bit of his stuff. And the doctor looks at him and he says, well, then the rest will cover the rest. And George says, what do you mean? He said, well, I didn't tell you, but I brought three comrades with me from America, and they all need tutoring too. So while you're teaching me for that 8 hours, I'll have these guys come and we will each pay you separately. Therefore, your entire coverage or everything is covered for your schooling. Okay, in 1 minute, his whole life went from having zero, not knowing how it's going to happen. God sends somebody to his door, and for 8 hours worth of work in a week, he's going to have his entire schooling, meals, room and board, everything covered. Okay, that's what God does in that sense for him when he did that. Okay, here's a guy, George Mueller, that did nothing but make a decision to go with God. He went to God first with his need and says, God, I've got no way to do this. I'm going to you first. Okay, he chose to give up the security of having his father pay for his school just because he knew that his God was big enough to make some other way. Okay, he had no idea how it would happen. He had no idea when it would happen, but he trusted in God with all of his heart. Okay, his God was able to accomplish what seemed to be impossible. In other words, George lived by faith. He lived according to his faith. What he believed would happen, happened because he was stretching it out there and living according to it. He chose to walk and to live by faith. God honored his faith because faith, the Bible says, pleases God. Okay, faith moves God. It is what the kingdom is built on. Faith is evident when you have planted the seed of your faith into God and you let God do what God does. God takes a seed and grows it. Okay? A seed that's put on a shelf somewhere does nothing but remain a seed. It has the potential life in it that God can take and he can miraculously change and cause to grow, but it will remain idle and fruitless and lifeless without it being planted. Okay, remember that God says that you have been given a measure of faith. In other words, that seed of faith is resident within you. It is in you to be planted so that it can produce more. To walk by faith means that you will actually step out in faith. It means you will get out of the boat and you will walk towards your Lord on the water. It means you will pray for the lame man that he will get up and walk. It means that you will lay hands on a sick and you will pray for them and they will be healed. You do not heal somebody else's legs or their body or any of that stuff, but you are that vessel. And by planting that seed of faith, God can begin to produce and do what he wants to do. 2 Chronicles 7:14, as we close this out, says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Simply pray. Humble yourself means admit your dependence on God and pray. Okay? Seek his face. Turn from their wicked ways. He says, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. The problem is that people take the seed that God gave them and they stuff it down inside. And then they go to work to fix the problem through natural means. They find some other way to make that happen, and they leave faith out of the picture. Okay, the faith-building Word of God says to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, trust God, right? In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So shouldn't we go to God first with our needs, put it out before Him, and let God figure out how to solve those problems? See, the carnal mind runs to a carnal solution right away. The carnal mind says, why would I, you know, pray for that person's foot to get better when they could just go to a doctor and get some medications or get prescribed some surgery and get it fixed that way? Why would I do that? Why would I trust God for my financial situation to change when I could just go get a job or I could just go to the bank and get a loan for that new thing I want? Okay, God certainly uses doctors and He uses bankers and all that stuff to accomplish His means on the earth. But shouldn't we run to God before we run to the bank? Shouldn't we go to God before we resort to natural means? You have to plant your seed. You have to say, God, I do have faith that You gave me, and I'm planting it back into You. See, George Mueller could have worked 2 or 3 jobs. He could have worked his fingers to the bone. He could have ran himself ragged trying to have enough money to put himself through school. And that you've seen people. Many of you guys probably know somebody that does that. They're scrimping and trying and they're struggling and striving and always going, going, going. Never a day's rest or never anything because they got to have more money to be able to pay these bills. Okay, well, George could have done all that. And he could have ran himself into the ground and none of his life after that probably would have came to pass. Okay, but God brought work to him, literally to his door, because he was trusting in God. He said, God, if it isn't You, it ain't going to happen. Okay, and it came to his door. 8 hours worth of work covered everything. He had enough time for studies and all the things he needed to do because God made it happen with 8 hours out of his week. Okay, George Mueller went on to be a missionary, and he started numerous orphanages. They say in his lifetime, he probably housed over 10,000 orphans in his lifetime. He established 117 Christian schools, okay, and he did all of it without ever asking anyone but God for money. Okay, the people and the money came to him. All he had to do was tell people, I'm building a new orphanage. I'm building a new building over there. It's going to be twice the size of this one, and it's going to cost 3,000, you know, 300 pounds more than the one before it. And he would just tell people what was going on, and then pretty soon people would just start showing up at his door saying, I want to give this money to that orphanage you're building. And they would start giving him money, and people would start coming in saying, I was looking for a job, hoping maybe I could work maybe for room and board helping orphans. And people started coming to him and making all the things happen for the provision for it. Okay, I want you to get this out of this message, and it is trusting God by not leaning on your own understanding. God is the one that changes a seed into a plant that produces fruit. God has given you a seed of faith. Plant that seed and watch God take it and grow it and do something with it. When you put your faith into action, that is, when you release it to God, it takes on a totally new nature, and it takes on the nature of a miracle in the making. I don't know if you guys have ever seen a plant. You can plant one under a rock and it'll still grow. It'll push the rock off if it has to, because it has a power inside of it that is produced by God. Okay, it is something that He makes to happen. So what's your greatest need today? What do you need in your life? What is God leading you to? What's that thing that's down inside of you that you're hoping for that you could plant into God's hands and say, God, by faith, I am just giving this to You. This relationship, this job, this need, I'm planting it into Your hands. By faith, I'm simply investing it into You to watch what You will do. Your faith is the evidence that you believe God is able to do something about it. So simply release it into God's hands and don't go dig it up again. Okay, let it be. Let God take that plant and grow it. Hallelujah. Father God, we're praising You this morning. Father, your word is life for us, Lord, and I pray that you instill in each one of us a hope and an expectation with our faith, Lord, that we can not just live by faith, but that we can walk by faith, that we can literally step out into what you are calling us to do and step out into doing those things by faith, reaching out to you, saying, God, I'm just placing this into your hand. I'm going to call this person. I'm going to pray for this person. I'm going to go to this place, but I'm doing it by faith. There's reaching out to you, Father, that you will take it as a seed being planted and grow and multiply it, Lord, that we will be stronger and walking day by day according to our faith. Lord, we're loving you. We're praising you. Thank you for that love that you have for us, unconditionally loving us in spite of ourselves, Lord, instilling in us a hope and an expectation and a faith towards you as our provider, our Savior, and our Redeemer, as the one that gives us and anoints us and empowers us and does all things through us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.